Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. And Lord, we do ask that you'll be the one who is our teacher tonight. Lord, give us wisdom to know your mind. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as a pastor, there are particular topics that you know will bring a backlash if you speak on them regardless of what you say. Some will say that you're too soft on the topic. Some will say you're too harsh on the topic. Some will say that you are sitting on the fence and you didn't go either way. They are lose-lose topics if you want people to be happy with you. And so the easiest thing to do as a pastor is to not speak about those topics, and then you don't upset anyone. And in the top three topics that are like this, music would have to be in the top three, maybe the number one, all right? Definitely in the top three. And it's probably because of that I've been happy to just say little bits about it in messages, but not actually preach a message on it or do a series on it. And but over the years, it's become increasingly obvious to me that it's a topic that we need to look at as a church. And when you see what's going on in churches, it's something that needs to be preached on now and probably regularly. And there are a number of reasons for this. Let me give you a couple. I know that I'm going to be judged by what I preach on as well as what I don't preach on. All right? And if there are certain things that God says I ought to be warning about, but I don't warn people about, I'm going to be judged on that. And so, above all, that's the reason why I want to preach on music tonight and also do some things in the next few weeks. There is a principle here found in God's Word in the Old Testament where it says, "Son of man, speak to the children of the people and say unto them, when I bring a sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land and he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." Now that's a pretty serious thing for those in the Old Testament. If God's people set a watchman, say, "We want you to look out for us," and if he sees the enemy coming and he blows the trumpet, but people don't take heed, they're taken away, but he's free of their blood. But if he sees the enemy coming and he doesn't blow the trumpet and warn, well then, yeah, they're going to be taken away and judged for their sin, but God holds him accountable. And that's a scary thing, because I know when you jump to the New Testament, God has set pastors as watchmen. I have a responsibility to teach, to preach, to warn, to exhort. And so if there are dangers with particular music and I don't say anything for fear of upsetting anyone, well then I'm accountable for that, regardless of what influence it still might have on your life. And so if I'm going to be a faithful minister of God's word, then I need to do this. And so that's probably the most compelling reason why I want to look at these things. Now, it goes further than that, because there was a time when a conservative church like ours not only had conservative music in their church during worship time, but they had conservative music in their home and in their private time as well. This was the music they sung was a reflection of what they enjoyed at home as well. And people had a conviction about that. Now, that sadly isn't the case today. with most conservative churches. Too many think that they can have conservative music when they go to church to worship the Lord, but when they're not at church worshiping Him, they can listen to whatever they want and it doesn't really matter because they're not worshiping God. They forget one of the very important verses in God's Word, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We are told everything we do in our words, in our actions, should be pleasing to the Lord. That includes our music as well. The music we listen to in our car, on our phones, iPods, at home, wherever it is. And if conservative music is not a conviction of the people within a church, well then, really a church is just one generation away from changing the music that they have in their church. Because ultimately, the music that people listen to at home will be reflected in the music that they play and listen to in the church as well. And sadly, that's the reality of a lot of independent Baptist churches. There was a time when if you go to an independent Baptist church, you know that it's going to have conservative music because that was the conviction of the people that went there. Yet there has been many independent Baptist churches and you don't know what sort of music you're going to get because it wasn't really the conviction of the people. It was just the conviction of the pastor who slowly got changed, or they had a new pastor and thus the music changed. Now, how does that happen? I'm guessing there was a lack of teaching. And so there was no real conviction of the people. And so thus another very good reason why we need to make sure we understand what God expects and what's pleasing to the Lord. Another reason why I want to look at it is I know that filling your mind with fleshly music at home or in private will eventually turn a person fleshly in just about every area of their life. That's a reality. We're told in 1 John, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father. All right? He wants nothing to do with that, but is of the world. And it's this verse and verses like it that make people very diligent to make sure that what their eyes see is not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. We understand that. We need to make sure of what we see and what we look upon, because if we look upon those things that are fleshly and wrong, well then it will consume our mind, make us fleshly, make it very hard to walk in the Spirit when we're walking after the flesh. Yet too many ignore what their ears hear, especially the type of music they choose to listen to. And too many, they feed the lust of their flesh with the fleshly music that they have. And this changes their outlook and nature in time. And I lived in a generation who was like that. The older people would tell us that there is certain music that is wrong and we need to stick to conservative music. Yet we rebelled against that. We tried to live with a foot in each camp. And a lot of my peers, they just were consumed by the flesh and they no longer follow the Lord. Yet if there were some that stayed, well then they tried to just bring in that music so they can justify what they're doing and have music that appeals to their flesh when they worship. And so as they became adults, and they're the ones that make decisions for their church has changed. And I could tell you the churches I went to, a Baptist church in Deniliquin for quite a while, a Baptist church in Nowra for quite a while, and they had very conservative music when I was there as a teenager. But as the adults grew up, you go there now, it's very contemporary, very different. And so it will affect us in many ways. And you know, sadly, the children who grow up in those churches think that rock music is normal for a Christian. They think it's just normal. Like, what is wrong with that? And I believe that is to the detriment to the church as a whole, as well as that local church. And so, for these reasons, I want to look at music on Sunday nights. And the key is, when we look at these things is, if you love the Lord more than anything else, even more than music, all right? If you love the Lord more than anything else, you should be thinking in yourself, this is fantastic. I want to know what sort of music pleases God, because pleasing Him is the most important thing. But if you're thinking, well, I love my music and I'm not going to change no matter what, well then, you can be sure that you love that music more than God. You've sinned already because you've made that music your idol. That is first. Everything else is second, including God. And as a teenager, that's how I lived. I wanted to be a Christian and live the way that I should, but there is one thing God would never interfere with. That's my music. And that's because that was my God. My advice is, stop trying to convince God to accept the type of music you love. God, I love this music. Will you just please tell me it's okay and give me a tick? All right? Stop trying to convince God to accept the type of music you love, but instead ask God to teach you to love the type of music that is pleasing to Him. That's the key. God, what is pleasing to You? Help me love that music. Now, today it's rather hard and confusing. Where does good music start? And where does good music turn into bad music? And that's the dilemma for a lot of people. And there are some things that I want to show you tonight in order to hopefully help you. Now, you have to forgive me, you're going to hear some rock music. Not that I want to promote it or make it something special, but you need to hear the difference and see what's going on here. And parents, I can promise you, if your children don't hear it tonight and learn what's wrong about it, they'll probably end up just listening to it anyway and think it's okay. So forgive me if I offend anyone. But this is the question, age-old question. I think most would say this sort of music's fine. That's what I grew up with, where my church, where my father's church, probably 95% were over the age of 70, and generally if anyone was playing an instrument, it's the organ, and she looked similar to that, all right? And I'm quite convinced most people say that's okay, all right? But on the other spectrum, we have something like this, and this is AC/DC, and I'll be totally honest, these were my gods, all right? I was convinced, no one could convince me this was wrong, all right? And so I was quite happy to admit or say that the spectrum was fine. This is what these guys sing, just in case you miss it, with this song. I've got my bell, I'm going to take you to hell, I'm going to get you, Satan get you. Now that's pretty blatant, isn't it? In case you're not sure what it sounds like. Now I'll tell you, I lived off that. Went to church, came home, listened to that. Couldn't see anything wrong with it. All right? Sad. So the question is, we know there's good music. And then we have to admit there is bad music. If you say that's good, you're delusional like I was when I was a teenager. All right, so we know there's good music and there is bad music. The question is, where does it meet? And the reality is there is a grey area. I would love to say it's crossover time. It's like going off the ledge, you know. You're either on or off it. There is a grey area. Problem is, everyone thinks the grey area is in a different spot. Some say, well, the grey area is probably about there. It's really hard when you just slip into that AC/DC. That's wrong, but just a little bit back from it, that's okay for a Christian. While others will say, nah, it's way over there somewhere, all right? Anything past an organ, maybe a piano, flute, all right, and just played in a very simple way, well, then that's it. While others say, oh, it's so hard, most of it's grey, all right? It's very grey. In fact, some say, it's just all grey, all right? It's just absolutely too hard to work out what's right and what's wrong, so who cares? We'll just listen to it all. And that's sadly where a lot of Christians get to. Oh, it's so hard, I'll just listen to anything. It's because of that we're going to look at DVDs from Frank Garlock, if you can see the calendars. And he's going to teach us godly music and what is godly music. He's the expert. I'd love to stand up here and tell you, but I'm not the expert. I could pretend I am, listen to what he has to say, and then tell it to you myself. I think it's better just to hear it from the expert. Frank Garlock, if you want to sort of put him somewhere, he's Patch the Pirate's father-in-law, all right? So that's his claim to fame. Or he says, my claim to fame is I'm Pixie Pirate's grandfather, or something like that. So, you know, he's recognized by his grandchildren. So he will talk about his credentials. But I found them very simple, very helpful, covers most of the important topics. And what we're going to do, what I hope is, I'm not going to sit here and tell you this is wrong, this is right, you should get rid of this, you should get rid of that. I want you to get the knowledge, and then as the sole liberty that you enjoy, you make a decision based on what God has taught you and how the Holy Spirit is leading you. That's the key. I don't want to be the enforcer. That's wrong. You have to make that decision in the sight of God. So that's going to start Sunday night. But there are a few things that Mr. Garlock doesn't look at that I do want to look at this evening that I think is important. All right. First thing is, we are all in the process of sanctification. What that means is that idea of judging others, look at them, they're not like me, so they are just despicable, terrible people. No, we're all in a process of sanctification. And we need to make sure that we're not judgmental, for starters. But on the other hand, we need to have the attitude that what I listen to in private may not be right. Because I am in a process of sanctification as well. You see, when we get saved, we are not automatically just like Christ. We don't automatically just think like Christ and become like Christ. No, it's a journey. It's a process as we learn. And so if we learn something and God reveals it to us and we realize, hey, what I've been doing is wrong, we don't act like what Phil Brown talked about this morning, where we deny it and we reject it or cover it up. No, we confess it and get it right. And praise God that he taught me. We are in the process of sanctification. So please don't be certain that you've got it all right. Please don't sear the work of the Spirit of God. Oh, no, I'm not going to accept what the Spirit of God is saying here. No, can I encourage you, as we look at these videos in the months, weeks to come, ask God to teach you and to challenge you and see if there is any wicked way in you so that you can be sanctified in his sight. That's the first thing. We're in that process. Second thing, the decisions you make about music will affect your spouse, your children, and this church. Be very sure of that. It will affect those around you. You don't live on a little island where no one else is there, and so regardless of what you do, no one else is going to be affected. You live with other people. You have a home and you will affect other people. You come to church and you affect people in the church as well. The decisions that you make will affect your spouse, your children, and this church. If you're a parent, be very sure you're leaving your children a legacy to follow. You are leaving them a legacy to follow in lots of areas in life, including music. The music that you listen to in the car, at home, they are going to learn to enjoy and love. Regardless if it's good or bad music, they're going to learn to enjoy it and love it. And if the music that you're listening to is fleshly music, well, then they will love that. And in fact, when it comes to godly music that doesn't appeal to the flesh but the spirit, they will find that really boring. Really boring. To the point they won't want to listen to it. But even worse than that, as they're following in your steps, feeding their flesh throughout their life, that fleshly attitude will start to be seen in not just their music, but lots of areas of their life. You'll see rebellion. Rebellion against you. Rebellion against any authority. You will see that they are so easily drawn to lots of fleshly things because they want to feed the flesh. Because you've fed it to them for years and years and years. So, be very assured that the music you listen to will affect your children. And you're going to have to give an account for that. Also, if a member in this church is listening to fleshly, godless music, then you can be assured it's going to manifest itself in this church as well. You will eventually affect others here. It may not be by leading them astray to listen to the same music, but your attitude will be fleshly in lots of ways. Usually you won't like authority for starters, because that's what fleshly music breeds, is rebellion. And then in every other area of your life there will be flesh. And so when making choices about music that you listen to, make sure you consider those that you love as well. As we heard this morning, when it comes to a lot of decisions in the Christian life, it's just not a matter of what I like or what or liberty. It's about love. I want to do the most loving thing for my spouse, for my children, for my church. So, also, at times music choices will be an issue of sacrifice rather than what is right or wrong. You know, Jesus said, he said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. So Jesus made it very clear, if you want to be a disciple of his, you have to actually deny yourself of some things. Now, too many people get that wrong. They think, oh, that means I have to deny myself of sin. Everyone is doing that thing, but it is sinful, so I will not do it. I will deny myself of that sin. That's just the beginning. Jesus is saying if you're a disciple of him, there are a lot of things you have to be willing to forgo and not be a part of and not enjoy simply because you're my disciple. A lot of times it comes to that as a Christian as well. Jesus, in Hebrews it says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. There are sins that need to be laid aside, and there are weights. Things that may not be wrong in its sense, but they drag us down spiritually. When it comes to the grey area, you can say, well, I'm just going to go right up to the edge of AC/DC, you know, because I think that's about where it ends. Or you can say, I'm going to deny myself of certain things for the sake of others. And so it does come often down to a matter of sacrifice. Now, there's one other thing that I want to address tonight, and that's the matter of rock music. What is rock music? Mr. Garlock talks a lot about rock music, how it's wrong. He explains why it's wrong. He explains why it shouldn't be seen or found in a Christian and so on. And I believe it's very compelling. But what he doesn't do is explain what rock music is. And I think that's one of the downfalls of his message or a lot of people. I know many believers who will boldly say rock music is wrong. A Christian shouldn't listen to rock music, and they're very sure on it. But the music they listen to is actually rock music. They've just relabeled it into something else. And they will argue black and blue that their music is not rock music. Yet, they just miss the very fundamentals of what rock music is. And all they've done is they've taken rock music, they've peeled off that label of rock music, and they've put on another little label and say, it's not rock music. And then they say to their children, you shouldn't be listening to rock music. Christians shouldn't do that. But my music's okay. And their children think they're hypocrites. Because the music they listen to has the same rock beat to it. So, if you have music with a rock beat in it, regardless of the label that you want to put on it, can I ask you to at least be honest and start admitting you listen to rock music? All right? I'm not going to even tell you if it's wrong or not. I'll let Mr. Garlock convince you. But don't say, I don't listen to rock music if it doesn't pass the simple test that I'm going to show you tonight. Just be honest and say, hey, I listen to rock music. At least everyone's on the same page. And so the big question is, what is rock music? Well, I thought we'd go to the experts about rock music. The people that the devil has used probably more than anybody else in rock music. And I'm talking about the Beatles. You know, they sing about rock and roll music way back then. This is what they say. Let me hear some of that rock and roll music. Okay? Simple. Any old way you choose it, showing us that there are different ways you can have rock music. But they tell us what it is. It's got a backbeat. You can't lose it, meaning you notice that backbeat. Any old time you use it, it's got to be rock and roll music if you want to dance with me. This is the Beatles way back. They made it very clear what rock music is. And so what's the answer? Rock music has a backbeat. Now you might be saying, well, what's a backbeat? And if you're pretty music illiterate like me, you may not even know what that means. Let's first go to some dictionaries. Backbeat, a sharp rhythmic accent on the second and fourth beats of a measure in 4/4 time. Characteristic of rock music. Let me give you another one. It's the same wherever you go. A steady, pronounced rhythm stressing the second and fourth beats on a four-beat measure. Now, there's always an exception to the rule. But here it's saying most rock music is in 4/4 time, and a rock beat is when the second and the fourth beat is stressed. Now, the way they predominantly do that is with a drum. That's a good way. But it doesn't have to be a drum. Better not say I'm a guitarist. I play the guitar, and I know very well I can put an emphasis on the second and fourth, and I can make it sound rocky if I want to. That's why I don't play the guitar unless I'm here. That way, I don't get tempted, because it's so easy. But you can do it with a drum. You can do it with the way you strum. You can do it with the piano stressing those beats. So I saw this on the internet. This is a chat line or whatever. Not a chat line, sorry. A question place. What makes a rock song a rock song? I think that's a genuine question. What does make a rock song a rock song? Well, typically rock is song-based music, usually with a 4/4 time signature with the emphasis on the second and fourth beat. But the genre has become extremely diverse. Now, if you're like me, you're thinking, I don't even have a clue what that means. Jono, this is where you've got to turn it right up for this one, okay? What I did is I typed in YouTube, what is a rock beat? And lo and behold, you can find plenty of people teaching people how to play the drums, and they will show you what a basic rock beat is. This is just the world, all right? This is not Christians. You want to learn how to play a rock song, you've got to have a rock beat. And I want you to turn it up because when he explains what he's going to do, he tells us this is what normally is a rock beat, all right? This is what normally is played. And so, this is what we hear.
In this clip, I'm going to do a 4/4 drum beat. It is the most common used time signature in most metal songs, and rock and roll.
Did you get that? All right. I'm not a musician, but I will try and go along with it.
In this clip, I'm going to do a 4/4 drum beat. It is the most common used time signature in most metal songs and rock and roll.
This is the most common. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Right? Pretty basic. So, if it's got that in it, it's a rock song. That's really basic. I don't know how you can miss that. This is what they even say. This is not Christians. Air Supply and Slayer both perform songs in 4/4 time, with the heavy beats being on the second and fourth. That's why they are both rock bands. Now, you might say, who on earth is Air Supply and who on earth is Slayer? I know very well who Slayer is, believe me. All right? Air Supply didn't really interest me. What they're showing is that you can go from one pendulum to the other when it comes to the rock beat of a 4/4 time with the second and fourth being emphasis, and it's still rock music. Regardless of how slow you do the beat, how fast, how heavy, and so on. So let's have a little listen so we can see the difference.
What you say if I got on you now and said that I can't hold on? There's no easy way, it gets harder.
That's a real slow rock beat. But it's a rock song because it has the rock beat to it. Now, if you're not sure what Slayer sounds like, that would interest me, all right? But they both, I think I can hear the rock beat more in Air Supply than Slayer. I don't know what Slayer is saying. But what this means is you can have soft rock. You can have hard rock. You can have country rock. People go, oh, no, it's country and western. Now, yeah, but if it's got a rock beat, it's still country rock. You can have punk rock. You can have gospel rock. They say, oh, it's gospel music, but if it's got a rock beat to it, it's still rock music. All right? Folk rock. Oh, that's just hillbilly stuff. If it has that rock beat, it's still rock music. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play you some of these so you can hear it. Now, I checked with Andrew. He listened to it, and he said these all have a rock beat to it. They're all rock music. Check with Robert, just to go. He says the same. Some are easier to hear than others, but it's all rock music. So let's be reminded what we're listening for.
In this clip, I'm going to do a 4/4 drum beat. It is the most common used time signature in most metal songs and rock and roll.
So let's see if we can hear it in these songs. Country and Western, Keith Urban, the top artist of 2017. Right? I don't listen to the guy, obviously, but let's see if we can hear it.
I can sing along without thinking about you every time I came on. Every beat, every line, every word, every time when a room was a room like a bomb.
It has a rock beat in it. Regardless if you like it or not, it's a rock song. If you deny that, you're just arguing against the world. Dolly Parton, the most honoured female country performer of all time. Here she's singing a song that maybe we would sing, and it's very soft, it's very slow, but it has the same rock beat to it.
Tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and
same rock beat, just slow rock, still rock. Country and Western, that is. CCM, which stands for Contemporary Christian Music. That is, those in today's world, Christians, who want to have music just like the world. Do they have it? Well, I typed in top 30 Christian, contemporary Christian artists of 2017. Funny that a lot of the clips, my filter stopped. Don't know why, maybe the thing's in them. Number 6 was a guy called Jeremy Camp. Now, the beat is there, it's just hard to hear with everything else. Pray so I can live like I've been changed. Alright. He's number 6 in the Christian world. Number 30 was a fella called Toby Mac. This is what he sounds like. It's there. Right? These are Christians. Alright? Christian children's music. Colin Buchanan. Surely there wouldn't be a rock beat in that. Well, this is probably the most emphasized one. 10-9-8. God is great. 7-6. Alright? If you listen to that, just say you listen to rock music, because it has the rock beat there. This is one that I can never understand, is the Wiggles. How many conservative Christians listen to the Wiggles? Now, you might say, Wiggles, how could anything be wrong with the Wiggles? I'm telling you, if you let your children listen to the Wiggles, you're conditioning them to listen to rock music, and then when you turn around, when they listen to something heavy and say you shouldn't be listening to rock music, they'll tear you apart. Because you've let them listen to rock music. It has the same rock beat. I don't care what they're singing about. It has the same rock beat. Southern Gospel. The Gaither Vocal Band. I don't know very little about them. What I have read is that Mr. Gaither, the older bloke, he's referred to as the godfather of Christian contemporary music. He's the one that helped start it all. It's very basic. You can hear the rock beat in it. Just this song. Singing with the saints at the morning light. Bringing in the day cause there is no night. Saying goodbye to the heartache, trouble and pain. Now if that drummer that's teaching how to play a rock song was there, he'd be doing that. That's what it is. Now, I don't know these guys. I just found them on the internet. The Statler Brothers. These guys, they're not hard rock. They're probably soft rock, very soft. And the emphasis isn't with the drum. It's used by something else, but it's the same principle. All right? When there's no good in your good mornings, too much hell in your hello, then your kind heart is something less than kind. When you're thinking... That is a drum, is it? Yeah, it's just tap, not a big drum. All right? Now, you might say, I don't listen to rock music, I listen to the Statler Brothers. Now, you listen to rock music because it has a rock beat. Yeah? The Beatles said that. Now, surely church hymns, church hymns can't be rock music, can it? Well, we love this one. Song like that. All you got to do is put a rock beat to it, sing it differently, and you got rock music. I trust you can hear the difference. It's just the same beat, just put to any type of music. Classical music? You know, someone got smart. They realize that people don't like to listen to classical music because they're used to something that feeds their flesh. So what do? They put fleshly music to it, a backbeat. This is what it should sound like. But this is classical music with a rock beat. They call it Hooked on Classics. So what we see here is you can have soft rock, hard rock, country rock, punk rock, gospel rock, folk rock. If it has the backbeat in it, it's rock, right? And just admit you listen to rock music if you have it. This is one thing. AC/DC, they sing another song. They're not coming backward. They're not backward and coming forward. They sing a song, I'm on the highway to hell. It says, no stop signs, speed limits. Nobody's going to slow me down like a wheel, going to spin it. Nobody's going to mess me around. Hey, Satan, paid my dues playing in a rocking band. Hey, mama, look at me. I'm on my way to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell. They understand that when they play rock music, they're paying due to who? Satan. Not God. They understand what they're doing. They're just open about it. And so the thing is, you can put a rock beat, and what I mean by that, a backbeat, to any type of music and turn it into rock music. You need to understand that. If the music you listen to has a backbeat, then understand it's rock music. Regardless of the genre or type of classification you want to give it. All right? Question is, does the music you listen to outside of the church have a backbeat? If so, this is a rock beat making it rock music. If you want to argue about it, I'm happy to argue any day of the week with it because I've come through this. Right. So is this the type of music that God's pleased with? That's the question. Mr. Garlock will help us work that out. So I trust you can at least go home and say, hey, the music I'm listening to at home is rock music or not. Simple way to work it out, does it have a backbeat? Now you can go through a lot of other things. Let's just stick to the key one. As I explained to someone, it's like trying to convince a heroin addict that heroin is wrong. Well, you don't start by saying, well, do you know cigarettes are bad for you too, and prescription drugs, and you go through all the minor ones. You just stick to the heroin. Let's start working on that one. And when it comes to a backbeat, rock music, let's just stick to that and not worry about all the other little rabbit warrens we can run through. We work that one out first. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've promised that your Spirit will guide and lead. And I pray that we would be honest before you. We would love you more than anything else. And if there is something that, Lord, you've pricked our hearts about, we won't get harder and sear our conscience, but, Lord, we'll go before you and sort it out. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.